Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
What is up, everybody? Liam Murphy back with the one, the only, Davis Maddock. Davis, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing all right. Got all my projections done. I've been working through them very slowly, and so got that as kind of a guiding rail instead of just doing some takes. So I have some projections to refer to now.
Definitely want to pick your brain on that in a bit. Guys, we are doing a drafter's draft today. We are currently at 6 out of 12. So, Rick says, let's go. Sir Sheeb, yes, 6 out of 12. Get in this drafter's draft. If you want to draft with us today, drafters.com. You can use either Davis's referral code or mine. Davis, I got my backward walking in yesterday. Got my 20 minute of backward walking in. I'm big on the self-betterment. Have you done any backward walking lately? What's your walk the people through some self-betterment schedules you adhere to?
Well, I backwards walk every day. So I do.
I'm backwards man. I walk, you know, have you seen that movie?
Freddy got no, I movie? Haven't, but that's pretty good. I've heard that movie referenced a million times, but have never, the 90s boob comedy just kind of missed me because I was, I was born in 92. So I've missed a lot of these, when I think of movies like that, like boob comedies, I think more of like American the Judd Pie. Apatow movies. American Pie was, I think American Pie was maybe 98, 99. When I think of movies like that, I think of, Superbad and, Pineapple Express and all of those. Like those are,
I guess
those
I'm
are
more
my,
of a horror dog than you, because I was watching the previous generation boob comedy. My favorite story about Freddy Got Fingered is I went with my best friend and his mom, who was like begrudgingly renting this movie for us. She rented this movie and Old School for us. And of course, we're at the Blockbuster and we meet the mom, who's like a bit horrified already about renting this movie. We meet her friend at the Blockbuster, and she's like, "Oh, what movies did you get the boys?" You know, like, and we're in middle school, whatever. And she's like, "Freddy got fingered," you know, like, which has nothing to do with anything. It's just like a Tom Green craziness. We did fill this, guys. Thanks.
Wow, there we go. It's quick fill.
Helping out with that. Let's check the draft capital. I pulled the 111, and Davis, you're on the 112. So we're gonna have to.
The worst, dude. Today. I hate these. Just the worst. I've been on a good stream, or a good streak in the puppy right now of getting top five picks. So can't complain about that. But a little annoying.
By the way, guys, if you were religious, we are at 666 subscribers. So make sure to bump that up or unsubscribe if you think that's more your move. Just joking. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, help us get out of the devil numbers there. This is going to be an interesting one where it's like we have to kind of duel each other. You know, there's some players we really like mutually. There's some players we differ in.
Yeah, I'll leave you Russell Gage and James Cook. You can have those guys, all right?
Well, I'm going to start Kelce and Pat Mahomes, so I'm gonna draft like it's 2021. Like that was a really common thing to do back then.
Well, it would be really bad if we ended up in a spot where we were trying to each get the same team stack. Like if you were trying to get the Broncos or trying to get the Chiefs or the Bills or something like that, because then that would just be annoying. We would just be picking each other off the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, someone's pointing out that drafters flip JT 101, hashtag sharps. I mean, I think that's both public sentiment, but I also would say, like, I listen to the ETR free pods, friends of the channel, a bunch of those guys. And both Levitan and Silva had McCaffrey as their 101, which honestly, like, makes sense.
I think every sharp good player has CMC their number one.
What's the minimum, like, going into this year, what's the minimum amount of JT you'd be comfortable with? Is it 0%? Is it 4%? Is it 6%?
Yeah, I have 4% right now, but I'm not planning on adding on that position when CMC is available. No, I'll take him.
But you're going to add him when he's like the 103. Like, you're going to get some shares there.
Yeah. But I'm not planning on, yeah. Like, I'm very comfortable. Like, I think on Underdog, I have 17% Christian McCaffrey, which feels really good. Like to see Christian McCaffrey on your front page of exposures is, you're like, okay, I'm going into the season in a good position.
Last year I had like 20% Dalvin Cook, not because I was taking him 101, just because I ran real cold on the 101s and McCaffrey was like always 101.
Yeah.
And so I just got a bunch of 102s.
If you had to guess, who do you think are my two most drafted players on Underdog right now? Obviously, because they have to be cheap, right?
Are you filtering for BBM only, or are you including Puppy?
147 teams in the Puppy and BBM. I have drafted 75 BBMs, 9 Puppy 3s, 39 Puppy 1s, 23 Puppy 2s, and 8 Pomeranians.
Is Jerick McKinnon in there?
No, not even close. I have 9% Jerick McKinnon.
Give me some draft rounds
to help. These guys have gone later than pick 140 the entire time, and they're not a quarterback. They're a skill position player.
Tyrion
Davis Price is number 3. I have him on 23% of my teams.
You know, like, I know the guys, I just got to think about, because, you know, I have a pretty good, I'm pretty.
They're not guy. Running backs. They're both theoretically pass catchers.
Theoretically. Oh, Albert O.
Albert O is number 1. Albert O is my greatest exposure player.
And we'll have to talk about that in a bit. And then Will Fuller, KJ Hamler.
Taysom, buddy.
Tell Taysom, theoretically pass catcher. That was a giveaway. That, you know, honestly, I'm not. Oh man, really wanted Kelsey there. We're gonna take CD on the recent mini news there. Yesterday, I had on Dan Zach, the WSOP Player of the Year, and he had some interesting thought. He worked with Codeine and Best Ball, and he had some interesting thoughts. Not everything I agreed with, and like. But he just took it from like a coding perspective, and I think it could have been a little like, I mean, I didn't grill him on his whole process, but he was basically against zero RB for advanced purposes.
I think he's 100% correct to be against zero RB for advanced rates.
Yeah, but I think he said it's like drawing dead to win, which I just didn't agree.
I think it's not drawing dead to
and
win.
I don't want to be misquoting Dan Zach, because again, like, we're, you know me, I'm ADHD, we jump around, but
I don't think it's drawing dead to win, but if you said you could draft 150 teams of zero RB or 150 teams of hero RB or bimodal RB, I would choose the hero RB or bimodal RB.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the chalk. Ironically, zero RB did have a higher advance rate last year, but that's always going to be, that will always come down to, how do the first and second round running backs perform? Do they get injured? How do the contingent values
do? And I think the more important point is the this year's.
Are we right about the wide receiver rankings?
Well, that I think is, you just said that is true in every draft strategy. But is there a Leonard Fournette, James Conner this year? Do they get the entire season? Do they get 6 weeks? Does Zeke get hurt in week 2? And then more importantly, is there an undrafted guy who smashes, right? Because if you don't have access, if you, because I think CP was only drafted on Rudman posted this. I want to say something like 550 total teams in BBM2 really or something.
That's because
like that.
He wasn't listed as a
running back.
Yeah, he was listed as a wide receiver. So like, even though I knew, like, I would have taken some if he was listed at running back. But I was like,
I actually, one of my claims to fame would be that I had a couple Cordarrelle Patterson teams last year. To me,
it was like, I don't want a guy who's going to be playing running back at the wide receiver position. You want the opposite, you know?
Yeah, you prefer the, which is why he's better right now.
Yeah, this year. What I meant by the wide receiver ranking is the market was like, we really whiffed on some guy. Like when you can get Cooper Kupp and Debo, like the top two wide receiver and Jamar Chase, like wide receiver 1, 2, and 3 does not go in the first two rounds. Like I wouldn't say that's a usual draft landscape where usually we're pretty good. Like we should be pretty confident that the first two rounds this year, first three rounds, like the top five wide receivers is probably going to come from these rounds, in my opinion. It's not going to be some guy who, I don't know. That's how I'm viewing it a little bit.
Zero RB is a better, much better strategy in managed leagues. And it's like to the point
I agree
that,
and I sometimes, but I also want to give the pushback on that. So you go first.
Well, it's very simple. Is that one, it doesn't matter if you're eating 2 points that you're running back to a lot of weeks because most fantasy games are not close. It's a head-to-head game, not a cumulative game. And you have the advantage of consistently rotating through Eno Benjamin, Jeff Wilson Jr., Kenyon Drake, Zamir, like you just got to get lucky once in a season.
Agreed. The other thing I would say is why I sometimes like zero RB and I feel good about in best ball is A, I don't have to, like, the head-to-head nature obviously changes a lot, but I don't have to choose. If I draft 8 running backs on a team, I don't have to choose who the 2 are, right? Like, I just approach it by volume. I get a mix of pass catchers, a mix of contingent values, and like the opportunity to be nutted is pretty good.
So the nutted thing is true, but it's very specific because even, you know, Eli Mitchell and Cordarrelle Patterson wouldn't have nutted you out last season because those guys didn't finish, you know, literally the running back one or whatever at their position. But if it's very interesting, right? It's like, and you know, no one I think is like right or wrong basically.
Yeah. And like, you know, I think the way Dan was approaching it didn't incorporate the current year's draft landscape as much, in my opinion, where the dead zone this year, quote unquote, has some guys that we fucking love. This is not Mike Davis from last year, right?
Yeah. I actually think that is a pretty cogent.
Brees Hall. This is Elijah Mitchell. You know, like AJ Dillon. Even like these are guys.
I mean, even look, if you close your ears, everyone. But even Zeke, right? Who is
I almost
basically
put him there, and I was just like, I'm.
I mean,
really
he's been, I believe, what, a top 10 running back in terms of volume every year of his career.
And Zeke is much better in drafters, probably, right?
Full PPR and the. And
I'm just talking about cumulative points,
yeah, where you're not needing 47 points in week 17 against the Titans, but he can just kind of grind out, you know, 240 points over the course of the year.
So let's talk about this David Montgomery special teams snaps, because
it's literally breaking my brain, dude.
Like, did you actually I only read the headline, I didn't even click on the report, but like, what's going on there? Is this comfortable, and they're like trying to humble check him?
I think what it totally sounds like to me is you hire a hard-o defensive coach and he just comes in and tries to, like, you know, like Joe Judge making the Giants guys run wind sprints when they messed up or whatever. Like, he's trying to coach them like a college team, you know, because he's a hard, I don't know anything about Matt Eberflus, but him being a defensive coordinator just would indicate to me that he's like a hard-o.
Yeah. And I mean, some coaches are just like, there are some new coaching staffs where previously the coach philosophy was not to do running back by committee, and that might change. Like teams like the Vikings, teams like the Bears, like we could see a difference. Like just because Dalvin Cook has always been the guy, and then it was Dalvin, like maybe they're not doing that anymore. Even the Rams, like the Rams came out and said, and by the way, the what the market reacts to and what the market doesn't react to is interesting. Like, he came out and said, I view Henderson and Akers as co-ones, and people still don't want Henderson.
Yeah, that's insane to me, because I think Henderson might even be better.
He's probably one of the best running back picks in that round. Like, he doesn't get lumped into the like this territory of like league winners, but he should probably be going in this range, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think you're probably right.
He's someone I had a lot last year when he was cheap. Had none when he got expensive. Didn't have a ton to begin the process, but have lately been hammering the button. Let's do a couple degen checks right now, Davis. One, yeah. Let's have you hand built any DK lineups for week one, just to get one in there.
No, absolutely not.
No, really maker lineups.
No, dude. I talked about this with someone the other day. Someone was asking me about this, and I was like, dude, do you know like how much shit I have going? Not even in terms of like real life stuff, but like I'm grinding, you know, second tier English soccer DFS. I'm playing like it's just no. Week one is not even a twinkle in my eye right now.
All right. Well, just curious, you know, wouldn't have been out of round to throw one in there just to get a feeler in there. Next question. Since our last stream, I think is when you got degen shamed / a couple people just dunked on you. I thought you handled it well, but, walk us through your emotions after you tweeted out the honeymoon slow draft question and everyone and their mother jumped in there.
Well, I mean, look, you know, it's a lot of the people commenting are already rich, right? Levitan, already rich. Smiz, already rich. So it's like, of course, they just want to go on a vacation and go be rich. But, you know, a lot of us obviously don't have the same ability. Like, for me to get rich, I got to bink one of these tournaments, right? Bitcoin's got to be $1 billion. I got to win $2 million playing fantasy football. Like, I'm not trying to... fart around with this stuff. So it's like not getting to 150 max in BBM3 is like a disaster for me.
Agreed. Yeah. And I mean, I think also people are taking like the own it, like, you know, no one said that you're entering 4,000 slow drafts. Also, you know, like you can very easily do that and not impact your schedule at all. Like you wake up in the morning, your wife is taking a shower, you make your picks. She's none the wiser that you even did that. You know, it's not like you're like hiking up Mount Kilimanjaro and you're like, hold on guys, got to make my 12th round selection right now. You know, like it doesn't have to impact your vacation at all.
You are like obviously correct, right? It's like, dude, slow draft take, like doing all the picks takes like 5 minutes, especially if after you make your selection, you star all your guys, right? So it's like, I do all my Bronco. I take Travis Kelce in the first round. I star every Chief. I star every Bronco. I take DeAndre Swift.
I hear you speak about this a lot.
Well, it's just shorthand, right? Because then I just know who I'm going
to
be.
Boys, we have made it. We finally got the sex bots to comment on the live stream. We appreciate you, scammers, whoever you are. Now I have to block my first block on this channel. But guys, come on, get. Oh no, boys, I blocked it, and because I did that, I can't take. Oh, wait, let me just show someone else. StreamYard's got to fix that, though, because if I didn't think through of like showing someone removing it, that comment was just going to be stuck on screen.
Amazing.
I think it was the honeymoon talk that
brought him in. Yeah. We did just get a question in chat, but then it went away.
Which question do you want?
Someone said, why do we keep saying something? I didn't read it all the way.
Oh, Bink instead of Bop.
No, it's Bink.
I think he's making a joke about his username, I think.
Get out of here, bro. It's always been Bink, bro.
Davis, you can see these questions, by the way, if you hit the comment button. There's countless questions. I just don't always highlight them.
Yeah, I got all my windows up. I got shit going on. You know how it goes.
you're counting on me doing the driving. That makes sense.
Yes, correct. You're driving this car, Liam.
Davis and I are going to be doing a main event draft. Actually, I was thinking about it today, Davis. I think because I was talking about Kyle Dvorak too. I think it would be fun for you, me, and Kyle to do one together if you're okay with an additional sure. voice in the kitchen.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, that's good by me.
So we're gonna
because again, in you know, in my the where I am in life, like obviously the money of winning one of these tournaments is great, but buddy, if I am part of a team that wins the main event, part of a consortium that wins the you know, the best ball mania, anything like that, I mean, it's so big for my brand. Like that basically like takes care yes. of my work for the next 5 years. Like I will never you know be hurting for any of those things.
No, yeah, and like no one can like it's hard to question you, and I we've seen plenty of people do that in the industry, I think, right? Like it didn't Al Smizzle bank and then he pivoted into content, or like I don't know the
well,
history.
Well, I was doing a little bit of content before, but yeah, Smiz is one of the Millie Maker. You know? Yeah, Dinkmeyer won the Millie Maker.
Peter
yeah,
Jennings, but he was yeah, already Peter running Jennings. A fantasy website.
Yes, yeah.
You so, know, with me having Mitchell and Debo and Josh Allen, I can't take Lance.
I think I'm going to take Lance.
I know you are. I know you are, but we are not. So we're going to give our good friend Davis there. You know, I like MVS, but I'm not sure about him ahead of some of these other wide receivers in this range.
Yeah, I'm taking Valdez-Scantling because I tweeted this out this morning, and like the you know it's like you tweeted this yesterday, like what storyline would happen for the 2022 season, and you look back and you go, well, that was so obvious. I mean, the most obvious one is that the market was dead ass wrong, that the Chiefs were going to be a middling team. All best ball moderate saying the dudes are holding on to a millionaire maker win from 8 years ago. Buddy, I guarantee you if you won a millionaire maker, you would literally tell everyone about it forever. I guarantee I would. If I have, like, I mean, shit, I split a FanDuel Millie Maker 3 years ago, like 418 ways in basketball, and I still remember it, and I still remember that happening. Like, trust me. You like it is a seminal life moment.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, it's weird being like one of the only best ball guys. Like it's more, you know, I feel like it lets me have my victory lap for a much longer time period, you know, where it's like,
yeah,
okay, you win week two of the Millie Maker in DraftKings. No one wants to hear about you in like week eight, especially if it's not like a live final, but you win best ball. Hey, you get the whole summer. You get until there's the next champion, kind of, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Felix here, who won the DK Millie Maker, says, I tell random dudes I'm playing with on Call of Duty. Hopefully one of them is Kyler Murray, man. That would be a fun loop there.
Okay, so
let's right summarize now, our teams for yeah, your let's, audio let's listeners real teams. Quick.
So Liam, drafting from 111, CeeDee Lamb, Debo Samuel, Josh Allen, Gabe Davis, DK Metcalf, Eli Mitchell, Treylon Burks, Chris Olave. I started from the 12 spot. I did Devontae Adams, then DeAndre Swift. Then I took Travis Etienne and Jalen Waddle, then Chris Godwin and Amari Cooper. I took Trey Lance at 84 and Valdez-Scantling at 85. And the Amari Cooper bags feel pretty light if this Deshaun Watson suspension ends up holding up, because Amari Cooper is really good and better than a lot of the guys going ahead of him if Deshaun Watson is able to play in games this year.
You know, part of my philosophy going into this year is anyone who is on my winning team, try to get plenty of shares on them, you know. But Amari Cooper is not a button I've been clicking. I still don't really plan on clicking the Deshaun button. Like, I'm not convinced of anything there, even though I know the NFL is probably just, like, going to do what's easy for them. But I don't know.
I have no idea either, and that uncertainty kept me from picking him. Mostly because I felt like Deshaun Watson was unlikely to play this season, and
it was partially
it
was part like not trying to root for him. You know,
yeah, like imagine having the week 17 sweat and being like, "Wow, the reason I'm going to win $2 million is I bet on a rapist, and the market, you know, was morally superior to me and didn't want to have a rapist on their team." Like it does stink.
Davis, let's talk about this. I named the title of this video "How to Win Money Playing Fantasy Football." So can we answer this question? I think the answer is you should be playing best ball, not your home league. If you're going to put in one $20 lineup this year, do your home league and then also throw one in on drafters or underdog, etc. I maybe Davis's answer would be just draft Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
I mean, my answer would just be figure out what type of game style you like, right? Whether it be best ball, whether it be seasonal, and then just like really focus on that and do a really good job at that and kind of filter out, it could be DFS or whatever.
All right, so we answered the clickbait title, guys. Guys, we're workshopping over here. I need to hire a video editor. We're gonna upgrade as we go, though. I thought about Miles Sanders, by the way, when I took Chris Olave, but I just decided, and I still like Sanders with the recent news, because at worst case, he's like Elijah Mitchell just on the Eagles, like a guy who's gonna like house the ball or not, you know. This is sure. A tough range. I'll take Hunt. Like, how I approach the Browns sometimes is I'll buy skill position players that I like, especially the cheaper ones like Hunt, David Njoku, where ultimately any quarterback is very unlikely to be the reason that you're winning these contests, right? Even if Deshaun gets suspended, like, I would not say that those teams are like a massive favorite to take it down or anything.
Quarterback is the position where the market, where you can level it out by just having like good ping ponging performances or whatever. Like, very different, you know, if Deshaun Watson, you know, if there was a running back in the same circumstance and he was a 12th round pick, but should actually be like a third round pick, that is a huge market breaking thing.
Danny asks, thoughts on best ball cash games? You know, for me, Danny, it's just like a mental health thing where it's like,
yeah, not for me. I mean, I get why people do it, but it's not for me.
I'm just not trying to like be, you know, I'm on my phone looking at Twitter enough a day. I'm not trying to also
totally
grind out $4 of EV one draft at a time, you know, like, and like back in the day, like I think like when Peter Jennings and Justin Herzog were getting like tens of thousands of dollars down in these cash games, like, it was because there were some other whales who were like, back then you could just take Travis Kelce and then autofill your, like, take Travis Kelce 101, and you just had such a positional advantage where, you know, these are only three man leagues. So you just can't make up the points on the tight end one is the point. And like the third guy wasn't hip to that logic.
Yes.
So it'd be like Herzig and Jennings splitting it. And then like, you know, that guy losing all his money or whatever. Preston says, correct. Cool shirt. Thanks, man. Where are we taking Kamara now? You know, I'm still taking, I want Kamara still in this range. I'm not going to be taking Kamara if it becomes a first round pick. I don't think I'll be taking Kamara if it becomes a late second round pick. There's a lot of pass game competition for him, where like, I don't think he's a lock to see the amount of targets he's seen in the past. And, you know, like I'm not sure if that's how the Saints will play football, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty bullish on Kamara if he plays. The tricky thing, it seems, for playoffs. Mr. Kamara is that there, you know, because his trial got pushed back 2 months or whatever, is he could play and he could be starting and you could be getting points from him, and then he could be gone in the playoffs, which is it is the opposite of what maybe he's a better play on drafters. That?
Have we ever seen that where
didn't it happen to Zeke? Didn't Zeke get suspended?
We've talked about this in the past. Like, unless it's a PED thing. And by the way, the league really needs to work on their optics, because a guy just got hit for PEDs and got a 6-game suspension. That doesn't sit well with a lot of people for many reasons.
It's absurd. The whole Deshaun Watson thing is like, it's a huge eyesore for the league. I don't really understand how they're doing any of this crap, you know? Like, I just don't. It all seems not good. But long story short, I like Kamara where he goes.
Would you be taking him if he becomes like a 1-2 turn guy?
No way.
Me either. Like, I'll take him now. Were you in a Pros versus Joes yesterday, Davis?
I am in the slow Pros versus Joes.
Oh, so maybe they're asking me. I liked my team. We did that over on Ship Chasing. If you haven't seen that, it was a good old blast. I took Henderson. I don't think we told the people our picks. So I went Hunt and Cook in the 9th and 10th, and then Henderson. And Davis went Penny, Ertz, and then he just got Lawrence and Albert O. Gooey Boonham. And I am on the clock. Where are you out on Rojo, man?
Well, it was not good news for him yesterday, but I don't really think his range of outcomes has changed a ton, right? Like his range is his range.
I still like. I'll never forget that. I watched that run against the Panthers. I had exposure then.
The 90 yard touchdown.
Yes, and I'm sorry. The guy is just a good runner, and maybe he like. Ultimately, yeah. I think the Rashad White news coming out about him being a knucklehead, like, that's probably good for Rojo, for us. Like, we should be maybe even more bullish on Rojo, because I like to believe that Rojo's not going to, like, take his experience from Tampa Bay and be like, great, I love how that worked out. Like, I love that I barely got to play. I like to think that he could mature and be like, hey, sure. You know, like, this is my last chance. I need to take this shit seriously, and I'm with the best coaching staff and one of the best quarterbacks to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Rojo is he's not going to play on passing downs at all, so he just has to straight up beat out Clyde Edwards-Helaire for not straight up, but just for goal line duties. Like, he just has to be the primary short yardage goal line back, because he's not going to catch any passes. And if he can do that, and you know, if McKinnon or Isaiah Pacheco or Derek Orr, or whatever,
yeah, where are you on this Isaiah Pacheco shit?
That feels totally made up to me. That feels like fanciful off-season stuff, you know.
Trying to look up Rojo's weight and Clyde Edwards-Helaire's weight. So Rojo pretty light at 205 coming out. CEH, I'm shocked. I thought he would maybe CEH is 207. But Rojo's was 5'10" and CEH is 5'7". So, you know, I would assume Rojo grew into his frame and added some weight in the pros.
Yeah. I mean, remember he said last offseason he was at 160 because of his gallbladder thing.
Well, that was CEH, yeah. But for the goal line role, I was just trying to be like, who is the bigger dude, you know?
I mean, Rojo's just good at it, though. Like, Rojo sucked at, like, almost everything they asked him to do, but he is pretty good at short yardage, and he just can't pass block at all, is his deal.
Ryan, I don't take any shade from this. You know, the funny thing about the pros versus Joes is...
is that it's actually the opposite, is the content guys are the Joes, and the pros are... the Joes, yeah, are the guys who play a lot of FFPC. It's kind of funny.
So I didn't realize that going in. I just thought they were, like, literally raffling off, like, random Twitter users as the, sure, Joes. And I was like, oh, great. Like, I hope one of the Joes win. And then I was talking about it with, like, Pat Crane backstage, and he's like, oh, yeah, no, this guy won this contest. I'm like, oh... So, yeah, I mean, I guess I qualify for either the Joe or the quote-unquote pro. I had one article on Fantasy Points, Ryan, so I'm doing Ask Me Anything on their Discord today. So, technically a pro.
Technically a pro.
With Joe tendencies. So, yeah, I don't know, man. But, like, even if Rojo gets cut, someone's going to sign him. You know, I'm not...
Yeah,
I'm
someone will sign. That is kind of what I'm telling myself with my Rojo bags.
I don't know why I have so much on him on BBM3 over...
Because you always kind of need a running back where he goes.
I like Madison straight up over him, and I don't think I was
sure.
Doing, you know. Summarizing those picks, let's talk about, you know, first off, I'm sure both of us are really sad for Tim Patrick. I think he was going to have a big year, in my opinion.
It's like the old line. I feel bad for Tim Patrick, but it's tremendous content because it's really good for KJ Hamler and Alberto.
Well, and the one good thing is Tim Patrick got paid before.
Yes, that is. Yeah,
we like
that
to hear that.
We do know? Like that. Yeah,
we're not 100%. Rooting for NFL owners ever. You know,
correct.
Like, and so. Tim Patrick, I believe it was like 18.5 guaranteed for injury. And with, you know, with today's medicine, like, look, he's going to have to work hard. That's going to be annoying, but he will get back out there. No problem, in my opinion.
Yes.
Have a lot of Damian Pierce, but at this cost with me starting.
Well, that's who I was going to take. So good pick.
You're welcome. But let's talk about it. So I think it's good for Albert O. I think it's good for Dulcich. I think it's good for Judy and Sutton. And I think it's good for Hamler. Like, it's good for – and it's good for the running backs. Like, again, not everyone is going to get there. But again, like, it just – you should be even wanting more shares of the Broncos guys. But, you know, like, maybe they run more too tight end now. Maybe they – whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly – I think it's clearly a thing where – also, you know, I think that the onus on Sutton and Judy to play well is like really important, because let's be honest, Jerry Judy's kind of been shit in the NFL. You know, 3 touchdowns in 2 years, like, really has not looked all that great.
A lot of injury bad luck, quite like.
Sure, right? Sure.
I've never been a Judy guy either, but like when he was getting, like once he starts getting, like there was a time period, and I think that's kind of gone now with the injury, but he used to consistently like go in like the, like in this Elijah Moore range where I was just being like, give me Judy there. You know, like he plays for the Broncos. I love their playoff schedule, et cetera.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that stuff, but like Judy and Sutton are probably being, they're certainly being overdrafted relative to what their NFL statistics have been up until this point. But like just from like a team perspective, from a Denver Broncos perspective, they don't really have like a life raft if those guys don't play well. You know, the rest of the guys on the Broncos roster, Seth Williams, Tyree Cleveland, Travis Fulgham, like, you know, maybe they end up being a destination for Odell Beckham. I doubt it, but maybe, you know, there are a couple, but I just think Hamler and Dulcich and Albert O like have to play a lot now because I don't think they want to play Judy like 100, like a bunch of snaps a game. Like he's been like a 70% snap share guy in his career up until this point.
Yeah. Who's going to play the slot to you? Because I think Tim Patrick big slot was the rumor. And
well,
now
it feels like it'll just be Judy now. Right.
Yeah. And so, someone's asking about Seth Williams. I remember, I think that name for like Ben Retch was in on him a year ago. I don't think that's how you should be approaching it. I think it's just more Javonte Williams, more of the top guys, more of the tight ends, more of KJ Hamler.
Could be really good for Javonte, actually. Just like they pass to the running backs a little bit more, they just run a little bit more.
More two tight end helps. More two tight Javonte. End.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Summarizing our picks, so I went Damian Pierce and David Njoku, my first tight end, and Davis went Khalil Herbert, who is like a big before the Tyrion Davis price FUD, which I'm still not convinced that he should be that FUDed. Like it used to be Herbert and Tyrion for me, and then a big tier gap when it's like these guys left, like Darrell Williams, Jamal Williams, Marlon Mack. But now after Herbert, I think it's a big tier break for me until like the J.D. McKissicks, the Tyrion, Darrell Williams, et cetera.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I like my team. Like I started with 6 wide receivers, and I like my 6 running backs. I think there's plenty of upside and guys who should at least be seeing the field early so I can piece together the early weeks.
I don't think my team is that great, to be honest. It's fine.
When you double tap quarterback early, it's hard, man. You're just giving away a skill position player on someone like me. Like I went Josh Allen, so I gave up a 3rd round pick, but I'm gonna push that quarterback too to try to recoup the 10th.
But
round.
I got a good price. I got a good price on Lance, but a bad price on Lawrence. Is to pick. I just hate picking on the turn. Picking on the turn just stinks.
Especially when there's someone sharp right before you.
Well, at least we're not trying to take the same guys, but I also hate getting locked out of elite tight end. And if you're picking on the back turn, it's so like you either have to reach on Waller or Kittle at the 4th pick or you never get them. So I just kind of always hate my teams that turn out this way.
Yeah. And like you got the tail end of guys who could be elite to me. Like you got Ertz and then next it goes to Kmet. Like the gap between Ertz and Kmet to me is huge. You know, like, I know Komet's drawn live to be the 2 there. I don't care. You know, like, and with my team, like, I feel so good at running back and wide receiver. I'm not ruling out 4 tight ends at all. And I like the 3 tight. So I just went Evan Engram and Hayden Hurst. Maybe Davis would have taken Engram with the Trevor Lawrence. Maybe not with him having two earlier tight ends. He went Jared Goff and Will Fuller, where the teams where I don't feel like I have elite wide receivers, I love adding Fuller to, because if he is the Texans from Tyler Sexbots in under 40 minutes, big time stream now. I know, man. Hey, where are my sponsors at Red Bull? You know, throw a little cooler back here. By the way, astute viewers will notice I changed my chair. This was a $100 gaming chair. I recommend it, guys. Even if you work a professional job, you know, just who cares if you look like a fool on Zoom to your boomer boss? You know, it's good for your back. It's good for your posture. These gaming chairs is why I bought it. I bought it when I was a teacher, or I mean, when I was worked for chess.com. So got the literally the cheapest one, but it's more comfortable for me than a office chair or whatever.
I have had an office chair sitting, get ready to put up like next to my desk for like 4 months, and I haven't put it together. So.
This has been in a different room, and I was like, okay, I'll roll it in finally after I've been doing all these streams.
Yeah. This, I mean, so the reason why I'm starting to take Fuller more now is I'm pretty sure he's going to sign with the Cowboys. It just like it at this point, it just makes too much sense for him not to.
So I wasn't aware of who Aaron Wilson was. Pat, I was talking to Pat and Kyle Dvorak at the time, and I didn't really realize they were company men when I said this comment. So maybe, you know, like, you know, they have onuses, but I was like, sure. Hey, you know, like, look, I love the news, anything I take, but it was a really convenient timing. And what he said is shit I could say. Teams are monitoring.
But he wouldn't.
Will Fuller right after an injury.
He said that because his agent told him to text him that, which is just an indication that Will Fuller is alive and has an agent.
It's an indication that the agent wants him to play football, which of course.
That's enough. That is enough for me to start drafting him.
Maybe the agent's trying to like outside pressure Will Fuller. Like maybe he's
like. That's fine. That's fine.
No, agreed. If it works, I'm for it. And
that is literally just proof of life, and that's all that I needed. Like I didn't want to go into the season with like 30% Will Fuller in the 16th round or whatever. But now that I know at least someone in Will Fuller's life wants him to play football, I'm back in on taking him.
Yeah, and like I don't think I've gotten any on my main event teams yet, but a much better pick for a main event type shit.
Where you can drop him. Yeah.
Yeah. Romeo Dubs, there was a camp report or two. He is now mega steamed.
Dude, the Romeo Dubs hype coming out of Green Bay is like unbelievable.
Steady drumbeat there. And, you know, like, I'm still not out on Christian Watson, man. I understand a lot of people don't like him, yada, yada, yada. But why could it not be the Christian Watson show?
Well, I mean, it's because Christian Watson is kind of far behind, right?
Higher draft. Yeah, no, he's injured, but higher draft capital, literally athletic freak. There's a lot to like in that profile.
You know what's an absolutely terrible price is the Allen Lazard price in the seventh round.
You know, so I think he's gotten a bit too steep. Dang, I would have taken Tannehill. Do I have anyone from Houston? I got Damian Pierce. That's some thin. Thin correlation, but people are – well, let me see actually Davis's team. Davis does not need a quarterback, so
– no.
We will let Davis for quarterback if he wants to for the laughs, and we are going to take
– I will not be for quarterbacking. I got to take a couple of running backs here with
this pick.
We're
going to take Mostert, which I don't have as much Mostert as other people, but fun piece for best.
I like Mostert, so I'm gonna bet against you, and I'm going to take Sony Michel, and then I'm going to take Jeff Wilson.
Well, the presence of Sony Michel is the real Mostert pause of the breaks for me. It's like, how confident are you that if both are healthy, it's Mostert over Michel? I mean, I think they play different roles, but like Michel was.
Michel is insurance for every other running back on the team. Michel is insurance for Chase Edmonds sucking or getting hurt. He's insurance for Mostert sucking or getting hurt. I mean, he's like Jordan Howard, right? Jordan Howard only plays when everyone else is dead, right?
Yeah.
Like Sony Michel, I don't think got a touch until Henderson got hurt, right?
They were like playing both, and like Michelle's just a dependable.
Yeah, he's Mike Davis, right?
Like he's a guy that you could just see coaches liking.
Yes, you know? clearly, I think that's the only reason he's on a roster.
I mean, he like failed a physical, and the Dolphins probably just didn't give him one. They're like, fuck it, you'll recover.
Yeah, you know? He's fine. Yeah.
He failed a physical at the Saints or something. So I went Mostert and Davis Mills. The Davis Mills drum beats have been strong. So have the Brevin Jordan drum beats, even though Coach Lovie Smith said
Farrell Brown is starting.
Yeah, but I think what, like, Farrell Brown's the blocker, I think, is what, because like the
Brevin
Jordan is like,
dude,
he's catching touchdowns left and right, you know? So that's interesting. Let's see.
Where are you at on these TDP FUD reports that Jeff Wilson Jr. and Trey Sermon looks yoked, according to reports?
I'm glad you asked that. My take is sometimes in camp, a lot of the way it works is like they run the ball right and they don't tackle to the ground. And then the players keep running. Like if you see that Rojo highlight, like they're told, so Tyrion Davis's price game is not Elijah Mitchell, right? Like he's not the backup for Elijah Mitchell.
He's not a guy who's gonna look good in practice. He's more likely to get the job done when the bullets are flying.
He's the guy who's going to punch the ball in from the one-yard line.
Very similar to Jeff Wilson, actually.
Yeah. So the real question is like, look, there's a lot of guys that fill that role though on that team. You know, Trey Sermon is big, you know, like, and yeah, it's not out of the question that he is back, but I've not been taking him as much anymore, but I'm not like, oh no, I have like, because I do have a big Tyrion Davis price bag, but like, I'm still happy to have that. The 49ers, you know, it probably, my main takeaway from it is I'm trying to get more Elijah Mitchell, is how I've been approaching it, just because maybe Mitchell is the clear one, and at worst he is.
I think he completely is the clear one.
No, I mean, he always was, right?
But if Mitchell was on any other team in the league, literally any other team, put him on the Commanders, put him on the Dolphins, put him on just whoever, he'd be a second round pick based off of his production and efficiency last season.
Yeah, and that's ironic because like the 49ers are the teams you want running backs from. But the question is like historically Shanahan's wanted to play kind of a stable of guys a little bit, and maybe he just doesn't do that much. Or, you know, I could see having a really fast guy on the field with Trey Lance who kind of plays the role as a power runner as like an enticing thing for a play caller, where you have to worry about Trey Lance, who's like fast enough and powerful, coming down at you. And you have to worry about Elijah Mitchell binking it outside.
Yeah. I mean, my main concern with Eli Mitchell was they just didn't use him as a pass catcher at all. Yeah. So Ethan.
But no one's going to be catching passes on that team.
Right.
At the running back position.
Yeah. That probably is the truth. Dan, these last rounds, the 19th and 20th rounds, just end up being disgusting.
I wanted Tyquan Thornton, but he got taken. We'll do Dulcich there.
Oh, I was gonna take Dulcich. I was gonna double up.
I've done that on a couple teams, quite a bit of teams recently, actually.
Yeah. So I need to take another tight end. They're all bad. I'm gonna take Jonnu because they're paying him $16 million, and I need a Jacksonville or San Francisco wide receiver. I will take Danny Gray.
That was just a lot
of Bing.
You know, I got a lot of Quez, so I think what I'm gonna do is bet against the recent Dubs hype, which comes off of like one play, and just be like, maybe it's flop lag Amari Rodgers instead.
Yeah, I would not do that. I don't think Amari Rodgers is gonna make the team.
So I went with there's like a little smidge of a report, but you know, you never know with some of these reports, like maybe they're actually just trying to.
I saw that Amari Rodgers had a good day of practice today.
Yeah, maybe that's because they want to trade him, you know? Like, so I ended up with a 2-7-7-4, a very interesting roster construction that I quite like because I don't see holes in my wide receivers. I don't like obviously I don't have the first or second round running backs, but my crew running backs is interesting, and I like my tight end dart. So reading through the whole team, Josh Allen and Davis Mills at quarterback. Elijah Mitchell, Kareem Hunt, James Cook, Daryl Henderson, Ronald Jones, Damian Pierce, and Raheem Mostert at running back, at wide receiver. CeeDee Lamb, Deebo Samuel, Gabe Davis, DK Metcalf, Treylon Burks, Chris Olave, and Amari Rodgers. And a tight end, David Njoku, Evan Ingram, Hayden Hurst, and Greg Dulcich.
Can't believe you took Dulcich for me. So I have a 3-6-8-3 build. This is probably my favorite thing about it's just my favorite thing about the 20-round drafts, both on drafters and on DK, where you can take three quarterbacks and three tight ends. You can just really lace up those condoms. So I went Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, DeAndre Swift, Travis Etienne, Rashad Penny, who I never take, but got him 10 spots after ADP, Khalil Herbert, who is apparently the starting running back for the Bears because David Montgomery is playing special teams now, Sony Michel, and Jeff Wilson Jr., both of who I think are actually pretty good picks in a cumulative scoring format and only good in UD if they happen to get their time in the playoffs. Another guy I hardly take, Devontae Adams, Jalen Waddle, who I do like, Chris Godwin, who I do like, Cooper, who I'm trying to make up my bags on a little bit right now, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who I do really like. I just want all the Chiefs. Marvin Jones, who I only took because I had Trevor Lawrence. William Fuller, we just laid out the bull case for him. Danny Gray, who actually is getting some good reviews from 49ers camp right now. And then Zach Ertz, Albert O, and Jonnu Smith. Jonnu, pretty interesting to me because the Patriots just need anyone who is athletic.
Yeah, flop lag, man. Like, it's not unquestioned. Like, teams change what they do. That, like, players can be in the doghouse. Interestingly, I'm not sure if I took on a main event team that I really like to start with, but I took Pat Mahomes kind of with the thought that I'll get Sky Moore or MVS on the wraparound. On the wraparound, like, right before me, the guy took Sky Moore, maybe just to spite me. I'm not really sure. But what's interesting is I then got MVS two rounds later to go with Mahomes instead. So on the FFPC, I got Mahomes way after Sky Moore. And on this site, MVS goes ahead of Sky Moore. And I generally try to think of drafters as pretty sharp. But Sky Moore also went in the 90s when he used to be going in the 100s. How do you feel about the Sky Moore versus MVS?
Just whatever site I'm drafting on, I just take them in order of ADP. Yeah, I don't care. It's like I'm going to have so many teams that have, two Chiefs players, three Chiefs players.
But here's the thing. John, who's going to smash his ADP, you can't say that about every single Patriots player. And what does a John who smash look like? You know,
John who smash, honestly, six touchdowns. John who smash was
six touchdowns, 8 points per game. You're like, oh, that
like,
was
so, like literally a couple weeks where he is on the field but does not receive a target or a carry, like literally does not receive the ball.
Like last year, I had a bunch of Dan Arnold, and I was feeling great those weeks where we started him DFS. I was like, wow, look, I hit on this. All right, Davis. Well, don't want to take too much of your time. How do you want to tell the people what you got coming up? Is there a Swolecast today?
There is actually a Swolecast today that people can tune into. Directly after this. So come over there for that. Reeves is coming on. And
what time is that at?
That is at 1:30 Central Time, 2:30 Eastern, of course. Sports Grid, Fantasy Football Podcast, Take Cast. And then don't get mad at me 2 weeks from now when there's no content, because I will be out of the country doing slow best ball drafts from a beach.
Maybe we'll get Davis in on the island. No, just kidding. We'll get a stand in for when he's out of here. I'm not promising that I won't take a week off too. You know, like
totally take a week off. You deserve it.
I might get a travel in before the NFL season starts, and I have a bunch of weddings and shit coming up, so that's just gonna happen then, and a bachelor party. I almost tweeted out a really long reply to like the Jeff Edelstein episode where I was like the discussion with David Kitchen and about reaching for ADP and et cetera, and I was like, this is better discussed in audio, so we'll talk about that. One day or so. But guys, check out the Swolecast. Thanks for tuning in. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and most importantly, have a great day. Peace.